You're listening to 2A Radio with Bill Carnes.
Some people do say that I have a touch too much, maybe come on a little bit too strong. But anyhow, you are tuned in to the Second Amendment Radio Show. We like to shorten that down to 2A Radio. As far as I can tell, it is the only Monday through Friday daily nationally syndicated radio show dedicated to the Second Amendment. Now, of course, we talk about all kinds of stuff, be it Second Amendment rights, First Amendment rights, Fifth Amendment rights, states' Tenth Amendment rights, and how the government is getting bigger, badder, bolder, and just trying to hose us out of everything. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. RepublicBroadcasting.org is the website. All kinds of great stuff there. Archives are available on the RBN site. It's $1.33 a month. However, RBN is also standing up a second network, the Elected Radio Network, Elected Representatives Network, ERN. If anybody is interested in helping to get that off, that's all self-funded. You can donate a little bit more than the $1.33 a month, $5, $10, $20, whatever it may be. You can go to republicbroadcasting.org and check that out. We also, if you'd like to spread the message, we have generic business cards for RBN. For 100 cards, they're $10. They're full color. They're on a nice glossy finish. They're very nice. I come from a printing background, and I can tell you these are nice cards. They're not junk. They're not some laser printer card that comes off. They're very nice things. If you order those, you can also get an RBN bumper sticker and a free copy of Aaron Russo's America from Freedom to Fascism, which, if you have not seen, is an eye-opener. It is fantastic. So, to order all those things, you can call the regular business office, which is 800-724-2719, or you can mail in to Republic Broadcasting at 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, Suite 302. That's Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And if at any time you'd like to call into the show, the call-in number is 800-313-9443. That's how to get a hold of me right here live. So, with all of that being said, we do have a couple of show sponsors I would like to get to. First of all, you can go to BillCarnes.com. That is all about me. I am the host of the show. I was on the first series of History Channel's Top Shot, which is a shooting-based reality competition show of sorts. I was on season one with 15 other fantastic people. You can, also on there, I have my NFA tab. It says NFA Guns with a question mark. You can click on that. I put together Class 3 NFA Trusts. And that is if you'd like to own any sort of NFA items, the National Firearms Act, be it machine guns, submachine guns, suppressors, explosive devices, destructive devices, I think they're called, and then the AOW, any other weapons. You can own those personally, or you can form a corporation, or the most leeway and the quickest way of getting about it, and the least expensive, is by far, by going through with the NFA Trust. I set those up individually for everybody. Additionally, one of our sponsors is RoninTactical.com. Now, Ronin Tactical features high-end defensive tactics types firearms instructors. And what they do is they're also certified in many of the states to teach concealed weapons permits. So what happens is you get together a group, you get a hold of RoninTactical.com, R-O-N-I-N, they send out one of their certified instructors, and you sit down and you go through the concealed weapons permits, which will get you about 30-plus states between the concealed weapons permits that you'll get wherever you live. It doesn't matter. So they will send folks out to get you set up with that. So go to RoninTactical.com. You can also go to my website, BillCarnes.com, and the show website, 2aradio.com. I have all of my archives there and information about me on both sites. So there you go. Stay tuned, folks. You're tuned in live right here with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You're listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. It is a fine Friday morning out here. You know, I want to jump right into it, considering that we just had a huge upheaval in the elections of earlier this week, of November 2nd, 2010. We end up with kind of a hurdle right in the middle of all the Marxists that were in control of the country for the past 2 years. So what I want to do is play for you a piece, it's about 6 minutes long, from a general who is looking at this from a perspective of different countries that have been controlled by Marxism and Marxists and how they go about it. His perspective between the historical accounts of Marxism in the world and what's happening here in the United States. So go ahead, listen to this.
We hear a lot about Marxism and socialism, and there are those, particularly in the media, who would say that we should tone down our rhetoric about socialism because we're not moving to socialism. Well, the reality is, I'm a special forces officer. I'm a Green Beret, and I've studied Marxist insurgency. It was part of my training. And the things that I know that have been done in every Marxist insurgency are being done in America today. The first thing that has happened when people like Fidel Castro have moved their societies towards Marxism is they've nationalized major sectors of the economy. Folks, that's what the bailouts were, nationalizing major sectors of the economy. The second thing they've done is they've redistributed wealth. We've heard enough about the redistribution of wealth. And in fact, the man that was appointed to handle Medicaid and Medicare after he was seated in the office actually stood up and said publicly that health care was nothing but a redistribution of wealth. The third thing that they do is they discredit their opposition. Now, I've never been so angry with my government as when a Department of Homeland Security memorandum went around to law enforcement all over the country saying that the future threats to America were right-wing Christian groups, pro-life groups, Second Amendment groups, and returning veterans. I'm still angry about that. But it never said Islamic terrorist. That's discrediting the opposition, the very groups that would stand up and protest the things that they see happening in our country. The fourth thing that has been done in the model is censorship. Now, it's kind of irrelevant with regards to the media because the most of the mainstream media is already on the left and is already very much in favor of the things that we see happening in America. But the hate crimes legislation that has been passed is actually targeted at pastors. It's targeted at pastors so that they don't get up in the pulpit and talk about things like homosexuality and same-sex marriage, or about the realities of Islam and the danger that Islam presents to America. The hate crimes legislation is meant to suppress them, to censor them, which is part of the Marxist model. The next thing that was done in every society was that gun ownership had to be controlled. We hold the Second Amendment to be very important to us as Americans, the right to bear arms. But in a Marxist movement, you have to control that gun ownership. I don't know if you've seen it, but there has been a decree by the administration, by the president and the secretary of state, saying that our president will sign the United Nations Small Arms Treaty, which is about how we will buy, sell, and control individual private weapons. folks, that means the United Nations, an international body, will decide how you and I, as Americans, can buy and sell our weapons, how we control those weapons, who's authorized to have those weapons, and where they are. This is a dangerous trend. And the final thing that is done in the Marxist model is societies like Cuba, like Venezuela today, like Russia under Stalin, or China under Mao Zedong, things they have done, the final thing has been actually to develop a constabulary force, a force that can control the population. You say, well, we don't have that. Well, let me remind you that prior to the election, the president stood up and said that if elected, he would have a national civilian security force that would be as large as and as well equipped as the United States military. For what? Remember, Hitler had the brown shirts. And in the Night of the Long Knives, even Hitler got scared of the brown shirts and killed thousands of them. Well, so you say, are there any signs that that's actually happened? The truth is, yes. If you read the health care legislation, which, by the way, no one in Washington has read, but if you read the health care legislation, it's actually in the health care legislation. There are paragraphs in the health care legislation that talk about the commissioning of officers in time of a national crisis to work directly for the president. It's laying the groundwork for a constabulary force that will control the population in America. You need to understand this is happening in America, and it fits the model that societies have that have been used when societies move to Marxism. It should be a matter of great concern. Find out more about it. Look at what's happening around you, and then get out and do something to help stop this. Use the constitutional tools that our founding fathers gave us. Let your congressman know how you feel about this. Be a pain in their neck by constantly emailing and calling them. Find candidates that represent your values as a constitution-believing American, and get out and get active in some of these movements that are trying to reverse what's happening in America. May God bless you.
Now, first of all, I have to ask the question, why is it every great military strategist has a Southern accent? Is it just one of these things that's born and bred into people who are raised in the southeastern United States to be great warriors? I don't know. I'm sure there's a few exceptions, but it seems to be fairly common. Did you hear this man's words? This is a man who has studied military history, and of course military history, because all countries eventually will go to war, and Marxist countries oftentimes end up going to war with otherwise free countries. They end up trying to push their Marxist agenda. Why? Power hungry. Absolute unquenchable thirst for power. Something that we have seen in this country for a very long time. Right here on our own soil. Very, very long time. In Washington, D.C. And as I've said many times, many, that the most clear and present danger to the United States of America are all of the scumbags in Washington, D.C. To the financial security, the actual internal security, everything. Just with the longevity of the United States. A part of the reason is that everything has gone from this country being a republic to this country being a democracy. Democracies don't last. They never have lasted. The longest democracies haven't lasted 200 years. Now, let me give you an example of democracy. That's where everybody has to vote on every single thing. Where it's this big idea of a collective. So there's no boss. There's no hierarchy. Imagine if you were at your workplace and the boss didn't have a say in anything because everyone had to vote collectively on everything. Every decision that was made in the corporate world doesn't work. An example of the republic waning and democracy coming in, the 17th Amendment, which, coincidentally enough, much like the 16th Amendment, was never properly ratified by the guise of the Constitution. 17th Amendment. All of the senators used to be appointed by the states. Now they're elected by the people, which is a huge waste of time, and it doesn't work. Guys, stay tuned. There's more to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio. RoninTactical.com has certified concealed carry training specialists that travel to you and your group of self-protection advocates. Organize a group of friends, family, or co-workers who take their responsibility of self-protection seriously, and RoninTactical.com will send out a certified training specialist who will provide a course of instruction that will get you and your group certified to carry concealed in over 30 states while providing you, the organizer, a commission for organizing the event. Do you travel for work, family, or vacation and want to remain armed and safe when traveling? Contact RoninTactical.com for details on staying home and having one of our certified professionals travel to you to provide the training and credentials for you and your group to safely and legally carry concealed in over 30 states. Call 888-416-4809 or go online to RoninTactical.com.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
And welcome back from the break. I want to take this opportunity to discuss something that is very disturbing to me. It's about the licensing of colleges here in the U.S. Licensing by the government, meaning that they will approve the institutions and their curriculum. Really? And what's this do? Just brainwashes everybody, and it's already worked. They came up with this idea and put it into plan during the Kennedy administration in 1961. And we see where that led to us. We actually elected an unknown Marxist student, foreigner, to the President of the United States 50 years later. Not even 50, 47 years later. In two generations, two and a half, I guess, to be honest, two and a half generations, we elected a Marxist unknown, history to be unshown, drug-using, non-native U.S.-born individual to the presidency, the name of Barack Hussein Obama. So here's the idea. President Obama's Department of Education, where Secretary Arne Duncan appointed a longtime homosexual activist who was part of the Sometimes Violence ACT UP organization to head his Safe Schools office, now is proposing to force colleges and universities to submit to a political agenda, according to critics, under the proposed federal rule change. Keep in mind, this wouldn't be a law. They would write this regulation, which would then have the full force and effect of law. Institutions of higher education, quote, would be required to have a document of state approval to operate an educational program, including programs leading to a degree or certificate. This is explained in an analysis by Shapri D. Lomaglio for the Council of Christian Colleges and Universities. State approved. Now, when have we heard this before? Oh, how about the former Soviet Union? How about Cuba? How about Nazi Germany? State approved. Here's a quote. "I think it's the greatest threat to academic freedom in our lifetime," says former Senator Bill Armstrong, now president of Colorado Christian University. "But only if you love liberty," he continues. Armstrong is also alarmed over the proposal, identified by the federal agency as a rule change regarding program integrity issues, that he's joined with another former Colorado senator and higher education leader by the name of Hank Brown in writing a commentary on the subject. Brown was president of the University of Northern Colorado and the University of Colorado. Educators were joined by prominent columnists Cal Thompson and Jay Ambrose in alerting readers about the proposal. Armstrong is encouraging members of Congress to look into the measure, since, as a proposed regulation change, most lawmakers probably haven't even heard of it. Armstrong said that the implications are not complicated, despite the 86 pages of tiny type in the federal agency's rule change. Quote, the Department of Education is attempting to subject every college and university in America, public and private, to political subversion. End quote. This is what he said in an email. Somebody said he needs to blow the whistle and put a stop, quote, to this takeover, a huge threat to institutional autonomy and academic freedom. End quote. Imagine that. Accreditation, now established by relatively independent educational councils, already is a life or death rating that requires institutions to meet high education standards set by these independent boards. But the new requirement for state approval provides that the state is expected to take an active role in approving an institution and monitoring complaints from the public about its operation and responding appropriately. Bigger government and more oppressive rules. That's what this is all about. It's about controlling education. While these regulations only encourage rather than require state involvement and oversight, if these proposals are passed as written, it is apparent that the direction that future regulations will be headed, according to the analysis, some states are already involving themselves in curriculum decisions for education, nursing, and other such programs for professions that require state licensure. In addition to the practical considerations of staffing and expense, this also implicates the larger issue of academic freedoms and religious freedoms. As religious schools, we could particularly be adversely affected by state attempts to regulate curriculum, i.e. science versus religion. Currently, Colorado requires education courses to include phonics, but what if as part of authorization, a state required that a science course or a counseling course include certain components? All of these are different scary little bits of the government getting involved more and more. More regulations, more red tape, more money, more expense, and more infiltration into your life and mine. We cannot allow this, and this will only serve to harm the country. Stay tuned, guys. More to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
All right, guys, and welcome back to the break. I want to play for you a piece. It's actually several months old. It came out this last summer, and it's an interview with a fellow in Florida that had to use a gun to save his life. And this is something that all of the anti-gunners in the world need to listen to. Because what they don't seem to understand is, at the moment somebody decides to launch an attack, oftentimes you don't even have the opportunity to pick up a phone and dial 911. So listen to this in the man's own words.
We are hearing tonight from a hard-working Palmetto Bay father who is lucky to be alive after being shot repeatedly by armed robbers. The victim fought back, and he believes that's what saved his life. CBS4's Gary Nelson has more on this story of survival.
They told me to give it up. They didn't give me a chance. It just shot.
John Lee is talking about the three armed robbers who jumped him and shot him here in the parking lot of his Palmetto Bay apartment complex yesterday morning.
I would have gave it up. But he gave me no chance. He told me to give it up and shot. And the first bullet hit me in my hand. Like I said, it spun me around. My first instinct was to go for my gun and start shooting back and defend myself.
Lee, a father of four and supervisor at Sam's Club, was able to defend himself because he has a permit to carry a gun.
It's rough out there. You never know. So I decided to get my concealed weapon permit a few years ago, hoping I never had to use it.
He used it only after the first slug hit him.
I reached forward. I started firing shots. Obviously, I must have got hit a couple more times. I didn't feel it at the time. I just started firing shots. The guys ran off.
Lee was hit four times in the hand, the arm, and twice in the gut.
When I looked down on my shirt, I seen blood just skiing everywhere. I took my shirt off. That's when I knew I was hit.
He's convinced this bloody scene would have been a fatal one had he not fired back, that the robbers who made no attempt to conceal their faces were bent on murder.
If I wouldn't have had that gun on me, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. That's how I feel.
They would have finished you.
They would have finished me off.
He was determined that wasn't going to happen, wasn't going to leave his children without their dad.
You know, I can't even comment to that. Not being around my kids, you know, not seeing them grow up.
Some things a man just has to fight for.
The thugs who gunned down John Lee in the shadow of his own home are a dangerous lot. They will kill you for your wallet or your watch. In Miami, Gary Nelson, CBS 4 News.
It's all too often that we end up being surprised by an attacker. Has anybody out there ever been surprised by an attacker? How about this? Surprised by a driver? Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to relate this. You're driving along, and all of a sudden, without any warning, somebody cuts you off or crosses your path to where you have to take an emergency evasive maneuver. Pounding on the brakes, switching lanes, hope you don't get into head-on collision, something like that. Has that ever happened to anyone out there? That is generally the warning that you're going to have if you get attacked by a bad guy. That's it. You get the warning of, oh my God, it's happening right now. So in an effort to get this driver to, and it lasts about the same amount of time, right? You see somebody cutting across in front of you, and you've got a choice of either evading this and hopefully not running your car into a ditch or head on into somebody else or careening into a car that's next to you in a multi-car lane, or you end up T-boning this guy and you have an accident. How much time is there to dial 911 and ask the cops to get there immediately and try to help you decide how this should happen? It doesn't work. But yet people believe that you should be able to dial 911 and the cops are going to come save you. I just listened to an audio recording just a couple of nights ago about a lady that had a guy pounding at her front door. She looked out the window, a couple of windows away from the front door, saw a silver pickup truck, and from there realized, I don't know anybody with a silver pickup truck. I don't know who this person is. Pounding on the door, calling her name, unfriendly tone, and an unfamiliar voice. Let me in, let me in, let me in. She goes into the bathroom, closes the door, locks it, and calls 911. From the time she started the call until the time police arrived was about 2 minutes. It took them 8 more minutes, well, 7.5 minutes, before they actually entered into the house. And keep in mind, this guy had actually busted through the door. And the alarm went off. She was smart enough to have set the alarm when this guy started pounding at the door. So if he did come in, the alarm would go. That's exactly what happened. The police are outside for 7.5 minutes before they actually came into the house. You may remember a recording that we played here on 2A Radio months ago about a guy in the middle of the night. Somebody breaks in through the door. This guy locks his bedroom door and hides behind the bed and calls 911. They showed up within 3 or 4 minutes. It took them 8 more minutes after they showed up before they actually came in. They knew that there was at least one or two guys in the house that were good guys and at least one guy that was a bad guy. As it turns out, this man who owned the home was in his house. He had a guest, a buddy of his that had been staying with him for a little while that was in another bedroom. And then these two other scumbags that actually come and break right in at night. And the only reason that the cops finally did come in was that one of the bad guys came to the master door where this guy had a gun and had a phone. Jiggles a handle, realizes it's locked, breaks through the door, sees the homeowner on the far side of the bed, and starts moving in to attack him. When the homeowner fires two shots at the guy, hits him, the guy stumbles back out of the room, down the hallway, and spills out onto the front porch where his buddy follows. Oh man, what happened? You got shot. And there's all the cops waiting. But they didn't enter the house. What makes you anti-gunners believe that the cops have any duty to protect any of us? That the cops are even there to protect us? And if the cops do show up, that they're willing to just jump right in? Police, by nature, do not run to the sound of gunfire. Because they have to have all this communication going on. All this wonderful communication that happens, right? That's what they want to do. I want to read to you a piece that was written by Gabe Suarez. And Gabe is an internationally recognized firearms trainer. He does a lot of force-on-force, huge with the AK-47 crowd. Okay, he says, law says you can't carry a gun. I'll point out some dead people who would love to be living outlaws. Some people will be shocked at the tone of this article, and they should be. And it goes through all of the different school shootings. February 2nd, 1996. March 13th, 96. February 19th, 97. October 1st of 97. December 1st of 97. March 24th, 98. May 21st, 98. June 15th, 98. April 20th of 99. April 28th of 99. May 20th of 99, November 19th of 99, December 6th, 99, March 5th, 01, March 2nd, 01, March 30th, 01, November 12th, 01, February 19th, 02, April 26th, 02, April 24th, 03, and the list goes on and on and on. Gabe says, it's quite a list, isn't it? Four school shootings in the last couple of months. Add to that the Islamic terrorists in Seattle. We can only speculate why these events happened. We cannot fathom what goes on in the mind of evil. And make no mistake, my friends, there is in fact evil out there. But let me see if we can solve this problem of evil men targeting the weak. What did these places and events all have in common? One, guns were specifically not allowed on the premises by official policy or by law. Some locations have specific legal prohibitions, while others rely on the company policy of sorts. Murderers will ignore the signs telling them that something is prohibited. Clearly, if the state prohibits guns on campus, the good people will obey and leave their guns at home. But quite clearly, these signs did not dissuade the killers. Think about it. The only people obeying the law and the signs were the good people, the victims. Skills with weapons of opportunity and edge-pointed weapons are essential in our day of restricted environments and soft targets. What is the reason behind the no-guns policies? Many in authority seek control above all else. They want to control things, and people walking about armed cannot be controlled as easily. Obviously, they lose control when the sign-ignoring armed killers come. Number two. Those inside were unarmed and totally helpless. The terrorists would call these gun-free places soft targets. Notice how none of these terrorists ever picked a gun store, a police station, or even a shooting course. The police were called to each of these events. But unless the police happen to be exactly where the shots are fired and have the mental perspective and courage to run to the sound of guns, for the sole purpose of locating and killing the gunman outright, the delay in response will be several minutes in the best case scenario. And once there, even the extensive active shooter training in police circles, the overriding goal is to control and capture rather than to locate and kill the gunman, which is the only real way to prevent the deaths of innocents. Number four. The events were eventually resolved by the police presence, but not without some victim deaths. repeatedly, we see that in the majority of these events. The killing is done fairly quickly in the beginning moments of the event. Number five. There has been some discussion about arming teachers. As my good friend, the late great Colonel Jeff Cooper said, quote, "One is no more armed because he possesses a pistol than he is a musician because he owns a piano. In such events, teachers and principals will be useless unless they have the self-selected themselves to cultivate the very opposite of what their job is. How many teachers or principals have the internal strength to pull a trigger on one of their students? How many would do the things that that we would do? I'm sure there are some, but they are certainly not the majority. How can we prevent the next one? And there will be a next one. Well, first, understand that your safety is your own responsibility. Carry a weapon everywhere. Company policy says you can't. Hide your gun better. Law says you can't. Tough choice, isn't it? But I'll point out some dead people who would love to be living outlaws. Can't have a gun under your circumstances? Then carry a knife and learn how to use it offensively. Spend money and get trained with your knife. Buying another competition 45 will do you no good if you cannot carry it with you 24/7, 365. Are there metal detectors? Carry something deniable as a weapon, but easy to stab with. You need to be armed. If the rules prevent you from doing so, find a way around them. Think like a criminal. A knife may not be equal to a shotgun, but you have a choice. You can die on your knees defenseless, asking yourself why you obeyed the sign, or you can die killing the crazy gunman. You might even prevail against him. Second, make those who pass these stupid no-gun laws responsible for their decisions. The parents and the family members of the victim should sue the pants off of the institutions that support such stupid policies. Sue the Jewish Center. Sue the school. Sue the principal of the school. The Board of Education. The police chief. The church. The mayor. The governor. Sue everyone. I'm certain that there are plenty of pro-gun attorneys here. Put your skills to use. If these people do not understand morality and the Constitution, perhaps they will understand poverty. Three, if teachers and principals aren't interested in concealed weapons, push for an armed cop at the school during all school hours. If this takes some extra tax money, consider it cheap insurance. In police circles, the job of a school resource officer has always been characterized as a cushy job suitable only for those who don't want to work on the streets. This needs to change, and it needs to change right now. If the city has money to fly the mayor around and work incessantly on perfectly good streets, they can put a police officer on duty at every school during school hours. And by the way, we need an armed and trained officer who will run to the sound of guns. Not some fat donut-eating slob who's 3 weeks away from retirement. You pay the tax that employs them, and the customer's always right. Take a page from the liberals and make noise. Number four, many of the kids were actually corralled by the school officials into rooms ready for the gunman. This lockdown concept is against the product of controllers. A locked door will not dissuade anyone who really wants to get in. As your kids get older, teach them that the rules are relative. My kids are told to ignore orders if the order seems stupid. How easy is it to break down a door and kill a classroom in lockdown? Their standing orders are to run like hell if you hear shots in a school. He's talking about his kids. I have promised them that they will not get into trouble. Teachers would also be better served by telling the kids to run. One teacher mentioned that they cannot, quote, lose control of the classroom like that. Seriously? I told her that when the bad guy kicks the door in and begins shouting, she'll have already lost control. Teach kids about cover and how to run. Also, as they get older, teach them about ferocity and how to put an attacker down for good with what they have. Teach them how to bludgeon his head with a chair or a sack of quarters. Teach them how to stab a pencil into the gunman's eye. Their safety is eventually their own responsibility as well as yours. I couldn't have said it any better. The words of Gabe Suarez, an excellent and highly regarded firearms and self-defense trainer. Folks, stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break. If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check, which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now, forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back up, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not where you belong.
All right, everybody. It is Friday. I want to thank everybody for having been tuned in throughout the week. It's been a week like every other. There's a lot of fighting to try to retain our rights, whether it's our First Amendment rights, whether it's our Second Amendment rights, whether it's the states fighting with the federal government over their 10th Amendment rights. It's a constant battle. We never seem to get away from it. And here's the thing that really seems to hold true. We have people in legislative authority, whether it's from your local town, all the way up to and including the entire Congress, both houses, the House and the Senate. And we have people in those positions of authority when it comes to legislative creation that aren't really too concerned about your rights. Unfortunately, they are not referring to the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, the federal Constitution. And at the state level and below, they're not referring to the Constitution of that state. And they're just randomly passing all this legislation, a lot of which inhibits your rights and mine. Then we end up with an executive branch, be that from the president down into the law enforcement and police ranks, to where they now begin to enforce this legislation, which is otherwise unconstitutional. Until someone gets arrested and fights on its constitutional authority, by spending a lot of money with somebody other than a court-appointed judge, I'm sorry, court-appointed attorney, then we end up having problems where we have to try to find things to be unconstitutional. Then, that doesn't necessarily mean that the legislative branch will repeal anything, rewrite anything, or the executive branch will ever enforce things differently. We need to fight at the legislative battle. We need to fight at that level first. That's our primary battleground. The legislative battlegrounds. We need to essentially replace anybody and everybody who has a voting record that would subvert your rights, which quite honestly, folks, is probably 90%+ of those people from a town, city, county, state, and federal level, which are elected to do such things. You need to get in touch with the people who are elected officials who are also elected into the executive branch, such as city attorneys, district attorneys, attorney generals of your states, and let them know that you'll be fighting and fighting hard to make sure that unconstitutional laws that are already on the books become
come off of the books, and we no longer have to deal with them. It's up to them not to enforce unconstitutional laws. Thanks for spending your week here.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you, in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2WayRadio.com.